Liquor Talk, brand new episode starts right now. Welcome on, welcome everybody to another edition of the Liquor Talk podcast. Shout out to everybody that's pouring up, that's tuned in. Whether you tapping on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, go ahead, like, comment, subscribe, tell a friend to tap in with Liquor Talk. And joining me today, I had to bring back a guest that I haven't spoken to since season two of Liquor Talk, man.
Yes.
Man, it's been a minute.
Yes.
She's podcasting out of Alabama. She's the host of the Woo Child podcast. It's Deanna Marie. Welcome back. It's been so long.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's been that long.
Like, yes, time has been flying.
Yes.
I think the last time we spoke, we were like pre-pandemic, right?
It was pre-pandemic, and then the pandemic happened. So I'm like, it's such an honor to be here, and just thank you so much for having me. And it's always a good time at the Liquor Talk. So,
yes, I'm glad you know that. So, yeah. What's been going on with you since the last time we spoke?
So, since the last time we spoke, life has been lifing. I had a baby. I got married. And so I also took some time off from the podcast a little bit, just to focus on motherhood and navigating that, a new marriage and then postpartum, excuse me, and everything. And so in the midst of the pandemic and everything, I became a content creator / influencer. So just to keep myself going and the momentum going, so I didn't lose it as far as just like stopping everything completely. So that's honestly what I've been up to, just trying to get this money.
Yeah, I feel you. I see you promoting products. I see you pushing products as well. I'm like, okay, you evolving, you stepping out here, you know.
Yes. And so I'm just trying to stay, I know sometimes just trying to stay relevant, I guess, but just still in the creative space more so. So I was like, the best thing for me was to just become a content creator. And now I'm back, and I'm back into the podcast. So I'm excited.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm definitely looking forward to you getting back into the podcast. You told me it was supposed to start this month, but you said you'll push back to next month.
We're going to pivot.
It happens. It definitely happens.
Exactly.
If things happen, pivots happen.
They do.
I get it. It happens. But it's nice to have you back on, because it's like, you know, it's been so damn long.
How have you been?
Man, I've been good. Like I said, I've still been pushing the episodes in spite of life, you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
In spite of life, wonder life, we've still been pushing episodes out. This time we done expanded, and we done over here we hosting sessions now at podcasting conferences and stuff. So
congratulations. That's major.
Yes, that's major. Definitely major. And I'm trying to get into the habit of going to more of them, but they be so pricey, but you know.
Yes, they do.
But it's other content creators saying there's ways out here you can go and people pay for it. I said, well, when y'all figure it out, y'all let me know.
Exactly.
Because, like I said, now, Afro's an audio shout out to them. It's a Black podcast conference in Baltimore. Now, if they didn't give me a free ticket because I'm doing a virtual session, I wasn't going to be going, because
exactly
the flights and then the hotels right by the conferences. Yeah,
yes. They keep pricey. They are pricey. Let me see. I'm trying to get my charger. I'm sorry. I don't want my camera to die.
But once again, though. But so what do you look forward to talk about? Because I know you talk about the mental health and the mental aspects of everything on your podcast.
Yes.
You look forward to diving back into that, because a lot of things been happening that
Lot has. And it's just like, I'm loving the fact that we're talking more about mental health. I remember even I don't know if it was the last podcast episode that we talked about, but about men's mental health. And so about creating the space for men and stuff like that. I think we had touched on it a little bit. It was like one time on a live. Like we talked about it, but I'm just excited to really just dive into it, because even though I was talking about mental health, it was helping my mental health as well. And so it was just like an outlet. So I just feel like mental health is just like so important. therapy. It's funny because I just had a therapy session. I actually go to marriage counseling alongside regular counseling by myself with my husband. So we do the marriage counseling together. Just like, it was almost like, how can I be an advocate for mental health and not really like fully tackle mine and try to tackle my trauma or like past and stuff like that so that I can talk about it on my platform. So.
Yeah, I feel that, you know what I'm saying? Because how can you sit up here and tell everybody to do one thing and you're doing the complete opposite? It definitely makes you look like
Exactly. So it's just, even with the marriage thing, I know a lot of stuff is going on with marriages and celebrities and stuff like that. And it's just like seeing that. And, you know, I'm young. I'm 31. My husband is 36. So, you know, we're still young. And just seeing all this stuff on social media about just marriages and stuff like that, I'm like, you know, that would probably be a good topic to talk about, just to get it from different perspectives. Everybody, you know?
Yeah, you definitely want to get from different perspectives. And also, I'm a little older than you by a year, you know.
Okay.
So we right there in the same ballpark,
right,
when it comes to marriages and stuff. But speaking of which, what you brought up was something that we were going to discuss, which is the marriages and why are all these celebrity couples breaking up. Like,
exactly,
what do you think that could, why do you think after all these years these celebrity couples are all of a sudden just giving up on their marriages?
Honestly feel like it's just, I'm sorry, I'm charging my laptop. But I honestly feel that it's because, see, I see it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So first way, I think a lot of couples are looking at our like ancestors and like people who we've looked up to before, to seeing like, you know how when they say like, oh, our parents used to stay together for so long and we just stuck through it and stuff. But a lot of people don't want to stick through it anymore. So that's first thing. And I think a lot of people also don't want to do the work either. And so now in our generation, we're just like, oh, if it's not serving me, or if it's not about the money, or if it's not that, I don't want it, you know. But we're not really like putting the work as far as like going to counseling together, or like really seeking like our generational curses and like really digging deep down to seeing like what the hell is wrong with us sometimes. Like, you know, we don't want to be vulnerable or take initiative or even point the finger anymore. Like, even if the finger is to ourselves, like, we don't want, I feel like we just don't want to be revealed anymore. We just want to keep it moving and not really work. So I can see both sides of things, because at the same time, sometimes when you're done, you're done. But with marriage, it's just like different. I think in our generation, we don't really think of it like that.
Yeah, I think in our generation, we just treat a divorce like a regular breakup.
We do.
It is crazy.
It's wild, but the access that we have to that is more crazier. Like, it's not even like a whole process anymore that you have to do. Literally, like, even during this session right now, if I was like, if I decided randomly that I just want to get a divorce, I could go online and just print the papers and just and sign it, and it's just that easy. So now it's just the access to having that, and then social media, of course, plays like the biggest part in it. Mm-hmm. And seeing what other people have and envy and all that stuff, it's just a lot. Like, it can be a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. And another thing I do notice is like, whenever somebody gets divorced, people are quick to highlight it, but no one wants to highlight the couples that put in the work, that's been together for 20 and 30 years. No one wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to celebrate the couples that have their anniversaries and stuff, and you know, that are mm-hmm. in healthy relationships and stuff. They always want to talk about the people that are around here cheating and stuff.
Exactly.
Doing the messy things. And this generation is like the microwave generation. It's like,
that's it.
It's like, we want to either want it right now, or we want to keep up with everybody on social media.
That's it.
They see their homegirl or homeboy taking the trip with that couple, and now they're close and stuff, and it's just ridiculous. And the divorce, And the numbers, when you look at the statistics, I don't have numbers in front of me, but they're astronomical because when it's like compared to black people, we get divorced at a higher rate than all the other races, and we get married at low rates besides all the other races. And because I did another podcast, shout out to Living Under the Crown podcast, they highlighted this, that other races, you don't hear about this.
You really don't. And I feel like they push that, especially like social media, like they thrive off of our pain and our trauma and all that stuff. And it's not to say that it's not happening in the white community or like people who are all different ethnics, but for some reason, I just personally feel that they thrive off of our failures and our, but we also encourage it. And so it's just like one of those things where it's just like, what are we really going to do about it? Like, is there anything we can do? Because I'm like, even like seeing all these divorces on the Shade Room and all that stuff, I'm like, dang, every week is like a divorce announcement.
Yeah. But
like you said, nobody's highlighting the anniversaries. Nobody's saying like congratulations on when people make it to 40 and plus years or 20 years or even like, 5 years. But you'll be quick to say, oh, so-and-so got divorced with, and they've only been married for 5 years. It's just like, I feel like in our community, we're just not, one, a lot of people haven't seen a healthy marriage. And two, it's just like people thrive off of people's being unsuccessful, whether that's through a marriage, whether that's through a career, anything, just like they eat it up.
And it's ridiculous that we just eat up each other's downfalls instead of helping the person, you know, stick it out. And if the marriage is less than 2 years, I really think you married the person for the wrong reasons. I really feel like maybe somebody had a kid in there or you know, something's not right. Y'all didn't do the shadow work. Y'all didn't do all the damn work that it took before you actually got married. If your marriage is only less than maybe 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And now I look at other marriages that have been, they're divorced at the 20, 30 years. I'm like, well, what the hell happened now? Like, I've been rocking together the last 20, 30 years and y'all supposed to be the strong ones.
Yes.
But this goes to show you that you can't put every couple on a pedestal.
You can't. And that's it right there. Because even just looking at other people's marriages and just relationships, like, you don't know what's going on in that household. You don't know, you know, what's going on in that arena. But like for me, we've been married for going on 3 years now, but we have put in so much work because we got married during the pandemic, then we had a baby immediately after, and then I mean, we're newlyweds, then at the same time, we're parents, new parents at the same time. So it was a lot of transitions. And a lot of people, I think, if we can communicate better and be more vocal and learn, because at the end of the day, we're all evolving and we're learning. And especially after like 20 plus years and all that stuff, I feel like it has to be a compromise to where you want to learn that person, because we change all the time. Mm-hmm. We're always evolving. And it's just, if you're not able to communicate and learn your partner and want to learn your partner, that's just it right there. It's just like, I've changed, like speaking for me, like even when we got together, my career was different. I was in banking at first, and then I was doing the podcast, and then I transitioned to my boutique, and I transitioned to I'm a tech girly now and doing all the things, and now content creator. But how that's so much evolving. That's so many different stages of the life dealing. And even with my father passing 5 years ago, it's just so many different stages and being a mother. But it all comes down to, is your partner and yourself willing to learn and evolve and grow with that person? Mm-hmm. But staying stagnant and just saying, oh, you were like this 5 years ago, what happened? Well, guess what? I don't like that anymore. I've changed. But like, what can we do to just learn each other?
So. Yeah. And I really think the pandemic exposed a lot of that, you know what I'm saying? Going back to the pandemic, like, because I heard stories about some couples saying that I had to relearn my partner all over again because now
we both
stuck in this house And I'm like, it's a shame that it took a damn pandemic for this to happen for you to have to want to relearn your partner. And it's ridiculous.
And that, and it comes down to, like, are you willing to do it? Like, the fact that you just had to be stuck in the house with them, like, what happens going on to date nights, you know, trying to figure out your partner, going to therapy. Like, me and my husband have been through, been in therapy for, like, 3 years together, consistently together and by ourselves. So it's just about putting the work. Now, I do agree, like, if after you have put in the work and tried and tried and tried, I do feel like at some point a person can only take so much, especially like when it's one-sided, or if the other partner is not willing to do it. And that's kind of like me, how me and my husband are. We're just like, if we ever was to get to a point where we just didn't care anymore, but we're trying, and but the other person's trying, but we didn't care, then it would be a different type of discussion. But if you're both willing to just sit and just like try to figure out each other and count, I'm a big advocate for counseling, like in therapy, because therapy honestly saved my life. But we don't have a lot of access to therapy. Like, yeah, we talk about mental health and stuff like that, but a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to talk to no stranger about my problems and stuff. But how would it be if we changed our mindset on things and shifting our mindset to be like, yeah, I don't want to be like my parents? Or if that's the negative response that people are looking at, like their generation and mama and them on how they did their marriage and stuff. Hey, I don't want to be like that, but how can I change the narrative? How can I change my perspective and my mindset and shift it so that I don't have to be like mama and them or auntie and them or whomever they're looking at as far as like in the negative light. And I'm not saying that everyone looks at people like that, but you know, we're always like, we don't want to be like our family or be like this or whatever. And we sometimes people have a different outtake on marriage. But what if we was to shift it so that we can just have something healthy, even if it's just a relationship? Like going into relationships, because relationships take work too. But yes. I mean, a lot of people think like once you get married, then it just stops. Like the work stops, like the effort stops. And that's far from the truth.
Listen, and people don't realize that marriage is not the end. It's really the starting point. It's really just a reset partner.
Now it's
a reset, because now instead of doing this by yourself, you got somebody with you, you know what I'm saying? Now you got somebody that's willing to work with you. But also, people, you got to be careful of who you marry, because sometimes people's mindsets and how they view things is like, can really change a person's mindset. You really got to pay attention to things. And because I guarantee you, people knew, like I said, you knew, people show them small hints to see whether or not I could spend the rest of my life with this person. But
you saw the red flags.
All the red flags, but I think a lot of people, they were desperate to get the ring because they saw their friends doing it. They saw social media. They saw couples. And then it also tells me that you don't love yourself, because if you're so desperate to get into a relationship, like, I mean, I've been single for the last number of years, but I'm not sitting here crying about it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's just the real growth I know for myself is occupying myself and not dwell and focusing on the positives, you got to focus on the positive things and not the negative things, because if you focus on the negative things, you're gonna be miserable and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so just got to know that your time is coming, and once you get that time, you got to make the most of it. And that's what a lot of people don't do. They don't make the most of being in relationships, and then also, which is why we get a lot of divorces and stuff. You know, and also I need people to really quit putting these celebrities on the pedestal, because you know what? You realize that celebrities are just regular people like us.
They just
want a lot more money. You know what I'm saying? And they got the money to sell divorces, but
they do.
It is crazy, but
it is so crazy. That is crazy.
It's just, so why do you feel like people just put celebrity couples on the pedestal?
I really think that we idolize celebrities at some point, because like it even goes down to like when we see them in public where people think that they're supposed to have so much access to them. Like, for instance, I know this probably is like kind of far left, but like I think I saw on social media that Lil Baby was out and about. It was like his concert or something, and like one of his fans purchased the VIP ticket. And so she was going up to Lil Baby and she was trying to touch him, like, hey, Lil Baby. He was like, don't touch me. And so she ended up making, like, you know, we're going to go straight to the source, social media, and out the person and try to cancel them, I guess. And so she went to social media and she was like, I'm never supporting Lil Baby again. I bought his VIP ticket and he had the nerve to tell me to not touch him. Why do you want that much access? Is that fair? Why do That's you want that much access to him by touching him? But that just goes to show like how we view celebrities, that people don't really, like you said, look at them as people, but they are regular people. But so from a marriage standpoint, people looking at their marriage, they're just saying like, oh, I wish you were like so-and-so. Because to be honest and transparent, like it was one person that I actually had to follow. It was like our first year of marriage. And then our first year of parenthood, and I had to follow one celebrity guy because he was like so good with his kids, like he was doing all the things right, but I'm not in their household. I don't know. And plus they're putting this on social media, so they could be telling us one thing and I'm going back to my husband like, why can't you be like him? Like, he's a family man. He's doing all these things right. He's catering to his wife's postpartum. But was that fair to my husband to just, I didn't even tell him the things that were going on with me. I wasn't even like communicating that. I was just communicating myself with social media and looking at this guy, this married man, and saying like, taking so many things that I want my husband to apply, but that wasn't fair because I didn't even tell my husband. So long story short, I ended up following the guy and we had worked on it through counseling, but I had to just learn to communicate like, hey, this is what I need from you. And, you know, and so forth. But from a celebrity standpoint, I think we just look at them and he was a celebrity too. So I think we just look at them. We're like, oh, they just have the perfect life. They have this, they have that, and not really see like they might be going through some real stuff in their house. And not only that, I think a lot of times we want so much access to them. And so we don't see what's going on and how they're putting in the work and what they're doing. They're just showing us what they want to show us. And that's fine. Yeah. You know, but we just want so much more and so much access. And I hate that. Like, it was to the point where I even had to unfollow some blogs and stuff because of the spotlights that they were putting on people. It was just starting to become too much. And
it is. It really is. And that's why. And I look at the shade room like, I'm like, and sometimes I'm like, do just all women run the shade room and Ball Alert?
I heard the owner was a woman, so I was like that.
And I'm just like, you taking pride in that? And I'm just like, it's like you get it how you live. You don't mind it. You don't from the hustle on the business side of it. You're like, good, get your coins. But from the life standpoint, I'm like, this is what you want to do. This Literally. Is what you want to pride yourself and spewing people's businesses and false rumors. And I got to say, shout out to the celebrities that will check the shade room that, hey, this is false, you know what I'm saying? Literally. And they do be clapping back. So I do salute the ones
that would be me
enough to clap back at people when they're putting out bullshit.
That would be me. If I was a celebrity, I would clap back so hard because it's just like, this is my life. I'm giving you access to what I want you to have access to. But to be honest, it's funny because I actually unfollowed the Shade Room 2 days ago because I logged on and I think they announced. So it is ironic that we're talking about this. I think they announced another divorce. Or I think they were showing. I don't think that was my final straw. I think my final straw was when they were showing about Krishan and Blueface again. And all that mess. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I'm just like, and then that's another thing I hate about celebrities. They show the messiest couples, the people that should not even be having babies together. Focus on them.
And as a mom, I just felt so bad. I was like, I can't. Because I was starting to like just go deep down into the shade room and trying to find something. I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't even want to know. And I ended up just unfollowing them.
Yeah, I've had to unfollow something. Now, sometimes I might pull a topic or two, you know what I'm saying?
No, but, yeah, for sure.
And I'll be able to have a good conversation
from it. Yeah, for sure.
But sometimes to see that mess every day you look up like another celebrity couple breaking up, and then you have the men. Then I'll be seeing some of the men on social media that are weighing in as well. And some men can be just as bad as the women, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and some things I understand and make sense, but then I'm just like, you know what? At the end of the day, it's like some of y'all men being just as messy as the women, you know?
Exactly. And then I saw this quote, and honestly, this is probably why I didn't unfollow. I saw this quote, and it was like, how do you start your day when you log onto social media? How you start your day is the way your day goes. And then they kind of were referencing like the shade room, like what if you get on social media and you're seeing all this negativity or nothing like positive. And I was just like, yeah, that's true. Like I really need to start my day not with social media. So
yeah, like I tried to not do. The only thing I'll do on social media is just share my stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Then right, exactly,
get my day started, you know what I'm saying?
Literally, yes.
And if I do find some social media, I'm finding the positive stuff or the informative things, you know what I'm saying? That can help, you know, instead of, oh, so-and-so got divorced or who it's got crazy. Divorced and stuff. So what do you think the solution is to going back to the breakups and stuff? What do you think the solution is? It's like, are people going to have to find a way to put in more work or they got to, what do you think it is, like, besides putting in more work?
Besides putting in more work, I think, and that's so tricky because the access, like I said, that we have to social media just makes it 10 times as hard. But honestly, I think if we were just to focus on ourselves a lot of times and try to really figure out what is going on, getting down to the root of everything, like, I think it would be a better place. Like,
you know what? I really feel like it'll be a better place is if people after one fuck up or two fuck ups, like, they won't be trying to break up out here because it's just...
That's true.
Because talking from a single person, there's nothing in the dating pool. Like, you're going to realize there's nothing. And then what's going to happen is you're going to go back to this person and you're going to be like, hey, I've messed up. You know what I'm saying? Somebody gonna go back, you know what I'm saying? Not all
exactly. And I think that goes into it as far as to like us always showing our business and showing all these things, because like you said, like, we gonna go back. And I think even when we talked to our counselor, I was just trying to figure out why at the beginning of our marriage, I was just trying to figure out why I was so eager to just every time we would get in an argument or something like that, why I was just so eager to say divorce. And my counselor told me this, and it goes back into shadow work. It goes back into really just trying to figure out how like you said in the beginning, if we can't love ourselves, how can we love someone else? Like, how can we pour into someone else? And it's not saying we're going to be happy all the time, but how can we do that? And so I was trying to tell her, like, I was talking to her, I'm like, why? I don't want to walk away from something and not say that I gave it my all. And I think that's like how you said, it was just so easy to just walk away. And she was basically telling me, like, the reason why I do that is because I look at relationships that I've seen before. I look at all these other relationships and try to compare myself. Like even to my parents' relationship on how I felt like, in my personal opinion, that they should have divorced. But at the same time, they had still loved each other. They were still trying to work it out. So whom am I to project that? And so she was just saying that it's not even about my parents. It's not about, that, because at this time you're an adult. Now you have to kind of do the work for yourself so that you don't pass that down to your son, or you don't pass that down, or you just don't get a divorce or whatever. And so she was just saying, like, I just got to work on myself and work on within and not just project that onto other people or compare to other people about other people. And really just focus on my lane, what I have going on. How can I shift that? with communication and knowing our love languages and catering to that, and just really just like focusing on myself and going really hard for myself. Because I think, like, even in marriages, I think since people get together, some marriages like lose themselves. And even in a relationship, you can lose yourself within a relationship real quick.
Yes, you can. If you, you feel like you're losing yourself and the person is condoning it and they're okay with you losing yourself, that is not the one. Like, no, you need to be independent. You still need to have a life outside of the relationship, because if you have a life outside of the relationship, it'll make the relationship a whole lot better. Instead of being like, I'm going to lean on you, you the end all be all. No, you need to have your nights out with your guys, or have your nights out with the girls, or you need to have your friends and family that's been in the picture. And you know what I'm saying, spend time with them, you know, and not be, and if they get insecure about that, then, you know, then you don't need to be with them.
Exactly. And that's it. And I'm just like, I don't know, honestly, where I would be like within my marriage if I didn't, like, if we didn't seek counsel. And not only that, just trying to really just figure out the stuff that's going on with myself. Like, nobody's perfect. I think we just think that everything has to be perfect. There's never going to be any issues. Like, if anyone gets married and they think that they're just never going to have any issues or arguments or anything like that, you got a rude awakening. But
yes, you do.
It's just how you navigate that. Like, I wasn't really big on communication before. And then my counselor was just telling me, hey, you have to communicate. You can't just walk away. You can't just, you know, wipe your hands and just walk away. Like, and it shows not even just in marriage. It'll show in your career. It'll show in life in general of you just walking away and not really trying to face those hard moments, because those are lessons as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not always negative, but it's just a lesson that can be learned. So
yeah, it's always that, because adversity is going to define your relationship, and how you handle that adversity is going to define who you are and stuff. If you are looking to leave at the first sign of a bitter argument, because I had that happen, and I had an ex that did me like that. I'm like, you know what? You didn't like me from the start. You always
Listening
at me like, I don't think you want me, when you didn't want me, when it was you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, were there some things I could do better? Yes, I would not. But I'm not going to sit here and dwell. I'm not going to beat myself up over that. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of things I wish I could do better. But you know, at the end of the day, you know what? It's a blessing in disguise, because you don't know what this person's life is going to be like, you know? And you don't know what their true intentions are, you know what I'm saying? Because if you got somebody that'll fight with you, you know what I'm saying, that will fight the problem instead of fighting you, that's the one you want to hold on
to. That's it. And the one that's going to be present for you, whether it's the good or the bad. Like, not just want to be there during the good, because that's called a moocher. Like, someone who just wants to be there for the good moments, and really they can't be there for you during your hard times, even if the hard times are together. Just someone that is wanting to be there, that's just major. Now, I do feel like if someone doesn't want to be there, that's when I feel like it's just time to dismiss yourself.
Yes, you definitely got to know when it's time to dismiss yourself, because, you know, there'll be so many people that they will say, I waste all these years with this person. Well, I'm like, why the hell you waste all these years with this person? Like, that's the one thing I will say I like about our generation, is like, sometimes we know when to just get the hell out of the situation, you know what I'm saying? But there are some situations that you need to stick around and fight it out.
Exactly.
There are some situations you just got to know when it's like, okay, this all this fighting is for nothing, you know?
Exactly. Some situations aren't that.
Yeah, and it's just, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know? And then you'll look up, you lose somebody good because you want to. But what I find weird is people manage to get rid of the good ones, but they make 50 million excuses for the trash ones. And then when the trash ones blow up and they finally had enough, now they want to be crying this woe is me on social media. I'm like,
exactly. And I know of a couple at my church that I had went to, my childhood church, and they had ended up getting a divorce, and she was basically saying, she was congratulating me. I don't know how our conversation came about, but she was just congratulating me. But she was telling me to put in the work as much as I can until I feel like I couldn't anymore, because her ex-husband had got divorced and they regret it. Like, they're on good terms now. They're both remarried, but and they have children together, so they come together for family functions and stuff. But she was telling me that she does regret it. They'll both say it, like, even from their spouses, because it's more so like a candid conversation. Not that they regret it because they still wanted each other, but they just regretted it because so much pain and trauma could have been prevented from that. Or not trauma, but just like so much breaking up or whatever. So much could have been avoided because they didn't put in the work. They cut the ties too early. They didn't even try. So now in their relationship, in their marriages, they've both been married for a while now. But now they're super adamant about putting in the work, making sure that they're doing that, because calling the quits too early can do just as much damage as good.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And calling quits too early can definitely leave some regret and stuff when you're thinking about, oh, if I would did this and would did that, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. We get, like I said, and sometimes, you know, if you mentally giving up on a relationship too soon, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But some cases it's for the better, but then some cases you're going to look like, damn, you know?
Yeah.
And not every time you can get that person back, but...
Not every time. It's definitely, slim to none sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely slim to none. But if you get that person back, hey, you got to capitalize on it, you know what I'm saying?
Literally. And then it goes into a standpoint too, about mental health, like just trying to figure out, like, why do I want to call things a quit so early? Like, why, what is wrong with me that I can't stick it out? Like, or what do I need to fix with myself so that I can learn my partner, but not only that, but to learn myself?
See, people need to have that more mindset, because, you know, I think people fail to take accountability, and it's ridiculous. They will find everything to blame but themselves, you know?
But themselves.
It's like, y'all will blame everything on why this didn't work out, or if you would did this, you would exactly. Did that. Instead of pointing the finger at me and saying why I should have did this, I should have did that. Exactly. You know what? People fail to realize, if they take accountability and own they mess up, then that person's going to have a little more respect for them, and they're going to try a little harder.
Exactly.
I feel like accountability is so hard for men and for women.
It is hard. I will say I used to be that person. I used to always get defensive. Like, not to say that my shit didn't stink or anything like that, but I was so fearful of rejection. And so I never wanted someone to reject me. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm never going to admit that it's me, because it's some form of type of rejection. And that's why I say, like, learning yourself and trying to navigate yourself on why you think the way that you think is, like, huge. So now, doing the work, I'm just like, I understand the communication is everything. And it's not always just about rejection. It's just about, you know, trying to find out how to navigate it all.
Yeah. And also, one thing that helped me with confidence is rejection, because I've learned that over the years, because you got to look at what you have compared to the other people, and you're like, I got this, and I got this going for me, I got that going for me. So you rejecting me, it's your loss, you know what I'm saying? That's what helped me get through dealing with rejection, because Lord knows I've been beat up by rejection, but you know what? I haven't wavered from it. So it's like, but at the end of the day, I do know that rejection is protection from something, because there might be something about that person that you might not know, you know what I'm saying? But then you get the person and you're like, because you'll get the person and then you'll realize everybody was right. And now you're like, okay, maybe they should have just rejected me, because you know what? Because I've come to have a respect for people that will tell me, hey, this is just not going to work.
Absolutely.
You can tell me that, but guess what? I respect you, but don't expect for me to help you out, and you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And like, don't be looking for me to help you with anything, you know, because
literally
you could have had me. But I've also developed that confidence to know that, hey, not everybody has what you can offer, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of men and a lot of women out here that you know what I'm saying, they'll value you as the person you are.
Yes, and that's so true. Rejection, you hit it right there when you say rejection is protection. Yes, it is.
Yeah, but you know, it's things though. I'm not gonna lie, rejection does sting at times because it's happening. But you know, you just gotta say fuck it. You just gotta get yourself up every time. You know, they say fall down 7, you get up 8 times. You know.
Yep. That's it right there.
Yes, that is, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. We in this thing, y'all. We back in this thing, y'all. Go ahead and pour up. I hope y'all are enjoying this conversation. Now, we're going to continue the conversation with finances because I've been seeing TikToks and stuff, and it will definitely expose how somebody feel in relationships. Like, so I want to get a married woman's perspective on this. Like, what do you think of that? You see some women that they'll say, oh, I had to take $5,000 out the joint bank account to go either go help my ex or go help my sister. Or the woman that will get mad with a man because this man is not going to finance her dream wedding that she wants. What do you think when you hear these women like complain about this stuff?
I literally cringe every time because when I hear stuff like that, one, so to play devil's advocate, I do feel like in the beginning of the relationship, you should always set the tone for what to expect. And so I do feel like these women that are saying these things, like a lot of times when you listen to their backstory or like ask them questions or whatever, 90% of them, or it may be less, say that, oh, my husband used to do this, or my spouse or boyfriend or whatever used to do all these things. So it's kind of like they trained them to think like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, when times get hard, a lot of women can't be there. Like they don't know how to, or vice versa, when it comes down to the finances. And a lot of times women who say those things, they lack something in their childhood or their, you know, I guess their past or whatever. Like, because if you do listen to a lot of their stories, they're always, it's like always coming up stories. Like they never, some of them weren't always raised like that or never seen money or wealth or finances and stuff like that. But when I do hear those stories, it's so cringing because it's just like marriage is not just about money. Like, or a relationship is not just about money. It's so much more value into a relationship that you can pour in. But at the same time, it can also mess up a relationship real bad. Like, that's one of my husband's, like, deal breakers as far as, like, he just doesn't want someone who's just spending, spending, spending and not really being responsible with the money. And so for me, I've always been responsible with my money. I've been working since I was 14. So I know the value of money. And it's always nice, you know, treat yourself or treat your spouse or your companion or whatever. But women like that, it just seems like it's not going to really get you that far because it's just like it comes down to compromising. Like, how can you compromise? Like now, and like I said, like a lot of these TikToks, some people be like, I don't know what I was on the stay-at-home wife TikTok. I'm not a stay-at-home wife, but somehow I ended up on that side of TikTok. And there was this one lady who was saying that she was a stay-at-home wife. They didn't have any kids or whatever, but her husband would pay for everything. Like, she didn't have to touch anything. She didn't have to touch a bill. Like, her money was her money. His money was her money. But that was communicated. Like, and he was okay with that. Now, with that, I feel like it's different. But let's just to say that something was to happen to them, they divorced. You can't take that same mindset and apply it to the next person if they don't agree with it. And I think a lot of times that happens. Like, how you treat the person in the beginning is how you have to continuously do it. Like, if you don't want your girl or your dude to think that you just spoil them all the time, don't do it in the beginning all the time. Because at some point when you have to stop or money is tight or whatever the situation is, that's when you really can see the real person.
Exactly. And you know what? And I've had learned over the years, because I've sadly I've learned that less is more. It's like, it's sad that it's like that, but you know, it's like, it feels like people value, it feels like the less you do for them, people more value that. I'm like, I don't get it, but it is what it is. But it's like, and I've had to tell myself over the years that, look, just be like a video game, you know what I'm saying? You unlock certain levels, you know what I'm saying? We're not about to be going
literally
to all these nice places off rip, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You gotta pay with it, because I'm the type, I will take care of you. We're gonna get it done, but it might not be the nice extravagant stuff, because times is tough out here. It's like, you know, everybody in debt up to their eyeballs, and you know, people think we just got all this money to sit around and blow and stuff. And like, you gotta, and now I really believe that you gotta ask the probing questions. You gotta ask the probing questions. You gotta have the tough conversations.
You have on the date,
you know, because
you have to.
Because what the hell are y'all doing? Just sitting there to look pretty and stuff. You gotta ask the tough questions.
You have to. And I think that's wrong with our generation too. Like you said before, like we're microwave. So you can't just go into a first date like, oh, this is my husband, but you haven't even asked the questions. You haven't even asked, like, how do you see our household going? Like, I know that comes over with time, but to not ask at all is just bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Until you get into the situation, and it's just like, that's how situations form. That's how divorce happens. That's how all the things happen, because it's just like, these conversations need to happen. And I wasn't big on communication at first, like I said, but I always have those tough conversations with my husband now. I'm just like, hey, like, you know, what? How can we do better? What can we do? And it's just an evolving conversation. And it's just like, people just don't want to evolve anymore. They just want, I want the money, give me the money. And especially on TikTok, they be going in on TikTok. But
yes, they do. And then some people, they think, and then there are some women, they be trying to find an athlete and stuff and have their babies. And, you know, and then also I see the random people on TikTok be saying, oh, my man need to make $200,000 or $300,000. I'm like, man,
that's crazy. That's the thing. Like, I can see if you made it and you just need someone to match your same energy. But if you're not even touching it, it's nothing really to say. Like, it's nothing really to say at all, because I get wanting to be taken care of, and especially how you were grown up and stuff like that. But it's matching. You gotta at least have some type of matching energy or compromise.
Yeah. You gotta be doing something that the other women ain't doing, because it's a competition out here. Because it's like, you might have all these standards and stuff. You might be this, and that. Meanwhile, the other chick, she ain't got. She's down to earth. She's a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. And fellas, like, and it goes for us too. It's like, there's some men out there, they willing to make it rain and stuff, but they're not being wise with their money though. They might be able to make it rain, but they might be an asshole to you in person, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Whereas the person who's hustling, who not making it rain, they building towards it, they gonna love the hell out of you, and they gonna love you in ways that money cannot bring, you know?
Facts. That's it right there. That's facts.
It's sad that people in this dating pool so you're blessed to not have to deal with
the dating. I know. I heard that the dating pool was very tainted. So,
yes, it's so tainted that we're damn near in October, and this is looking like this is going to be the first year I haven't been out with anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I've just gotten so locked in on the podcast and just working and stuff that where I'm just going to, you know, and you got to focus on things that bring you joy. You know what I'm saying?
I think put in the work. And setting your foundation is just key as well. Like, just setting your foundation for the success that you want, and doing the best things that's for you.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I'm saying? That's because, you know, because that's how bad the dating pool has gotten to, because people are just, they want to get got before they get got. You know what I'm saying? They want to hurt somebody before that person hurts them, and they need to change that mindset. No. Figure out how they need to build with that person, you know?
They do. I totally agree. Ooh,
yeah. Yes, it's crazy out here. Now, staying with the dynamics of relationships, I know you have homegirls and stuff. Now, I got to address this. This one chick said something crazy on the podcast. She said, if you're not trying to thought out, if you're not down to cheat or be slutted out, then don't come on the girls' trip. It's like, and I'm like,
married too? Are
in relationships.
That's wild. That's wild because
I feel like it's wild because there are some women that they will they will help you help the homegirl cheat and then cover for the girl when she get grilled by her man.
Those type of situations are so scary because one, you are the company that you keep. So a lot of times, like if I was to ever go on a girl's trip and I heard that, that would probably be my last girl's trip. Like obviously I wouldn't do anything because I firmly believe in karma. And I firmly believe how you treat people is how you get treated. But I just wouldn't hang around those girls anymore. That though is wild. And it's funny because I actually have a girl's trip coming up next year. But I honestly don't even know how I would be floored like how I am now. I would be floored if someone said that to me, like, you can't come. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not coming. Because at the end of the day, it's about morals, it's about respect. And I'm not saying that she doesn't respect herself or anything like that. I think it's just different boats float differently.
Yeah, I definitely feel
like different. And it's just like ways. I just wouldn't. I'm just really a firm believer in treat people how you want to be treated. Now, I do love a good time. And then I think a lot of people think that a good time has to be a good time. But you can have a good time without, you know, doing all the above and beyond. Like, now my husband does always tell me to have a good time. You know, we're not like, don't go cheat, don't go get split it out, don't do all these things. Like, don't, you know, we joke and be like, okay, he always jokes with me. Like last night I went out with some friends with his girls, and they're both single, but he was like, okay, you can only get two numbers tonight and you can only twerk on two people, but he's joking. But at the same time, having that dynamic, we're just not super like strict, but at the same time, we know, like, you know, what the boundary is. You know what you won't accept and vice versa.
Exactly. You know what you won't accept. It's like, and you shouldn't be enforcing them boundaries. You should already know them boundaries to the point you're joking about it.
You should already
But if your intent is to go on that girl's trip and the intent to go find somebody else, then you know what? Then why not just break up with your man, you know?
And that's my thing. Like, and even going back to, like, the divorce and stuff, I always tell my husband, if you was ever to get to the point where you just don't want to be with me and you just want to act single, you are going to be single. And that's, I would rather you tell me that versus acting on it and then me trying to figure out, like, all the dynamics and everything like that. Just be single.
Yes, be single. To the girls' trips, to the guys' trips, you know.
Everything.
If y'all gonna be crazy like that, if y'all think that's just the standard, then just go be single, you know what I'm saying? Just go be single, have all your little fun and stuff, you know. But don't be trying to change your mind when you realize that, hey, this ain't what it is.
And then try to project on other people too. Like, I know, like, I think it was Aisha Curry. She wanted to, like, see if she still had it or something like that. Like, I think it was one story where she was saying she wished that guys under her post would, like, comment on her or whatever, just knowing that you still have it. I know that got a lot of backlash. But
that damn show got a lot of backlash. Your man is in the NBA. Like, what more do you want? Like, and it was getting a lot of backlash from men, like, because I've seen some red pill men just eating that shit and running with it. Like,
it is, but
this is a sign that this woman wants to be single, you know. I've seen a lot of other women that wonder, like, do I still have it? I'm like, obviously, you still have it because you still got that man right there rocking with you. That needs to be your standard. Like, do I? Yes, you still have it because that man is still right there. He didn't hit you with the divorce papers.
He sure didn't, but it still goes down to it. And I'm going to say it again. Like, trying to figure out what is wrong with you. Like, that's an insecurity. But you can't project that on your husband or on other people because they're not commenting under your page saying, oh, girl, you're so sexy and all these other things. Because then on the other spectrum, like, what if they were doing all that? Like, what if one person came on there and wrote some vulgar comment? You would say you'll feel disrespected. So which one is it?
Yeah, I need you to admit which one is it. Because you know what? Yeah, at the end of the day, you got it definitely goes back to having confidence in yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And also goes back to going to therapy and doing the work, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, a lot of times when people say stuff like that, it's just an insecurity. And this is no shade, no tea, but it's just something that you just have to really just work on with yourself, even if you're talking like that or wanting that. Like, it comes down to insecurities and who you are.
It definitely does come down to insecurities. And I need y'all to remember, the grass ain't green on the other side.
It surely isn't.
It ain't nothing out here, you know what I'm saying? So to all my people in relationships and marriages, I need y'all to fight for it and fight with everything you got. Because take it from the single man, there ain't nothing out here for you. You know and because you don't want to see your person happy with someone else, you know, because that starts a lot of drama, you know. That's what starts a lot of baby daddy, baby mama drama, because they're happy without you.
It do. Exactly. Don't give up. It's still, if there's still hope, keep going.
Yes, you got to, because it's cheaper to keep them, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how it is nowadays, because divorces and lawyers are costly, and then you got the alimony support. Like, listen, I saw one case of a man trying to take alimony from a woman. I'm like, look, I'm like, bro, go get yourself.
That's wild.
And I say the same thing to women. Like, look, go get it yourself. If it ain't got a kid.
Like, I hate seeing those stories where they're like, oh, you have to pay, like, well, I've only seen it. I mean, I'm sure it happens with regular people, but I've only seen it with celebrities and stuff. Paying $50,000 for a kid a month, like, all these things, I'm just like, that's not for the kid.
That's definitely not for, and you know what? And people don't realize it is for the government too, because the government takes a cut of that, you know what I'm saying? From offices and stuff. And you know what I'm saying? They take a big cut of that. So in reality, the person might not even see that much of that.
Exactly. That's so true. I never thought about it like that.
Because it's a whole business, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole business, and it's a whole business to get, because you got to pay the people, you know what I'm saying?
So
it's like, it's just another way of the government to be in your pockets. So, but which is why I need people out here to have the mindset of the woman that'll help her baby daddy start a business instead of putting him on child support.
Exactly.
Because there's a woman on TikTok that admitted she helped her baby daddy start a trucking business, and now they're doing good.
Wow. See? Just help yourself.
You don't realize in helping the baby daddy, because you made a baby with him, you know what I'm saying? You might as well help him. And if he out there trying, now if he's one of these bums that ain't trying, then do what you have to do at that point. But if he's out there trying and grinding and you see him working, then you got to help him out, man out, you know what I'm saying? Because helping him is going to help you as well.
Exactly. I'm a firm believer in that. Like, and that's what my husband says to this day. Like, he's a software developer, but hasn't always been a software developer, our whole relationship. And just he helped me, but also growing with him through that process. I think that's just like key. So help yourself and help them.
Mm-hmm. That's real. And that's the goal, you know what I'm saying? That's the goal, to find that person that's going to go on this thing and help you with wherever you at, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because y'all grow together, and then guess what? That'll show you that's going to be your person for life.
Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal.
That's the ultimate goal. To death do you part. Yes. You know what I'm saying? We need to get back to that, because the other cultures, that's what they stand by. Not in America nowadays.
Really not. I hope as a generation that we can get better and seeking more positive counsel, whatever that looks like, so that we can fix the things within ourselves that can trickle down to not even just relationships, but our kids' kids, because we don't realize how deep it can really go. But even just for ourselves, like, no one wants to live like that. Like, so just trying to figure out what is going on with ourselves, our mental health, because even if you were to leave someone and you still have those problems within yourself, it will just carry on to the next person. So that's how I feel in my eyes, like just trying to really go hard for myself and for the person. So I can know, like, deep down inside, that one, either I've done everything that I can, and not only that, I've prayed about it, and then I've seek counsel. And then after that, it's just out of my hands.
That's real. All right. So what you got in store? So when is the target date for your podcast to come back? What you looking at?
Okay, so what's today? Today is the 24th.
At the time of recording, this is the 24th of September.
Okay. At the time of recording. Okay, so I'm going to hold myself accountable. And we can expect a new podcast from Woo Chow Podcast on October the 6th.
All right. Hopefully we get that new episode.
We're gonna get it.
Because listen, we definitely need your podcast for the culture. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And I'm sorry for the wait. It will not be 100 more episodes. It won't be 100 episodes again before you come back on. You know what I'm saying?
It's a pleasure.
Yes. Hopefully we can do it in person. You know what I'm saying? Because Alabama and Florida ain't that far apart.
Right. It's really not. So I'm down for that too.
Yeah, so, but like I said, I want to thank you for coming back on, because it's always fun to bring back somebody. And I want to thank you, the listener, if you've done poured up with us and you've enjoyed this conversation and you got something from it, you know, I hope you definitely got something from it, because we dropped a lot of gems on this episode.
Yes.
Hope you got something from it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your man, Victor, from the Liquor Talk, and I'm signing out this thing. Good night, y'all.
Good night.